One of the ongoing issues with healthcare in America, and we're going to put legislation aside for a moment, is that a small percentage of people run up a big percentage of the costs. Often it's people who get medical attention from the emergency department at the hospital, and not once, but many times. An ambulance company and a coordinated care organization, CCOs deliver Medicaid services in Oregon, teamed up to work on reducing emergency visits in Jackson County. And we have some information about the project with Doug Stewart, who's the CEO of Mercy Flights. That's the ambulance company. Hi, Doug. Good to see you again.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
And Dr. Ann Alftine is with us. She's the director of clinical
integration.
Integration. I didn't change the word yet, for Jackson Care Connect. Good to see you here.
Thank you.
Dr. Alftine, let's start with you. For the people who are not familiar with the likes of Jackson Care Connect, what is a CCO?
Right. So Jackson Care Connect is the only nonprofit coordinated care organization, a CCO, in Southern Oregon. And we serve almost 30,000 people in Jackson County, and we provide health care for both physical health, mental health, addiction services, and oral health. And our nonprofit structure really allows us to reinvest back in our community to do innovative projects like we're talking about here today.
So the patients you cover have insurance and therefore have primary care. Are you trying to build in some incentives for them to seek out primary care instead of getting to the emergency room?
Right. There's a lot of waste in the system, Jeff. And we were hoping in a partnership with Mercy Flights that folks that are seeing the emergency room could be better served in the primary care setting, that we could support them to get there.
What is often the reason for going to the ER instead of to primary care? And this goes to either one of you.
Yeah, I'll start. And I know that Doug has a lot of input on this, too, because he's been working in this space for years and years. From what we see, there's folks that go to the emergency room for really valid reasons, really emergent reasons, and that need to be seen there. Other folks are going for all sorts of different reasons. Sometimes it's a way to get social connection or even food. Sometimes it's because their mental health issues or their oral health issues, it's hard for them to get the access they need, or they're not sure how to get the access they need. And then other times they're just not connected to a primary care setting where they've connected and feel welcome and have made a relationship in the primary care setting. And so based on habit and knowing that's their option, they go there instead of other options for them.
And so as you look at the records, Doug, and I'm sure you keep very detailed records, I mean, did you see a target population that was a good place to focus your efforts in trying to reduce emergency visits?
Yeah, we looked at some statistics using some computer programs and whatnot that are out there, and we kind of chose a population that was visiting the emergency department numerous times, and we decided to start with those folks and to start investigating why they were using the emergency department so much.
So I want to be clear on something, though, because obviously you're in the business of transporting people often to emergency departments. So, I mean, are these, but not all these people, I would think, got to the emergency room through Mercy Flights or any other ambulance.
Right. A lot of them came to the emergency department by ambulance, and some of them were walk-ins. What we found, and you know, it's about an estimate of probably at least 40% of the people that actually use an emergency department don't need it, but they need something else. And so that's what this program's about, is to try to help those people get what they need.
All right. So how do you make that determination, though, the 40% who don't need it, and what kinds of services are they seeking?
It could be lots of things, as the doctor said here, that, you know, it could be because they don't have a primary care physician. It could be because they don't understand their disease process. It could be because they're not being compliant with their medicines, or maybe they can't afford their medicine, and that puts them back into the hospital or emergency room setting.
Does it create a shortage at all, for example, with ambulance services? Are you potentially transporting people while other people with more urgent needs might be left waiting?
Yeah, Jackson County is very busy, and every year our 911 call volume has gone up about 6 to 7%, and it's getting very difficult to deal with for not only the ambulance services, but the emergency departments in the valley here are totally clogged up. With patients, and there's long waiting times and those kinds of things, and they could get better services that they need, you know, if they don't need the emergency department, that they could go somewhere else or do something else, and that's what we're trying to help them with.
We are talking about an effort to keep visits to the emergency room down, a project of Mercy Flights, where Doug Stewart is the CEO, and Jackson Care Connect, where Dr. Ann Alftine is the Director of Clinical Integration. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the project and the wrinkles in it and what it took to get people to seek out emergency services a bit less. 800-838-3760 for your questions and comments. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So I understand, Dr. Alftine, a small percentage of patients do run up a big percentage percentage of cost? What kinds of figures do you have on that within your CCO?
Right. So for the emergency room department, about 1% of the members are about 50% of the healthcare costs. It's a significant, it's like the 80-20 rule that you know about, but it's even more severe than that. So it's a place where there's opportunities for real innovation and change and reducing the waste in our system. We want to, our goal is triple aim, which is improving the outcomes of patients, decreasing the costs, and improving the patient experience. And that doesn't mean that we have to cut services or we have to cut benefits for members or decrease the payments to providers. In actuality, we can reduce the waste and continue our benefits and get people into the care that they need.
Is the general thrust then to make sure that people do see primary care or somebody in an office setting less emergent so they don't have to end up in the emergency room later on?
Exactly. But in addition to primary care settings, also improved access to mental health, which Jackson Care Connect has been working on, and improved access to oral health. Those are some of the main reasons why folks go into the emergency room.
When we say oral health, we're talking dental situation.
People
who don't, yeah, so people who don't see,
you
know, their teeth may be going bad, it turns into more than a dental problem down over time.
Almost a third of the folks that we saw in our first iteration of our work with our ED guides, both at Providence Hospital and Asante Hospital, and they looked at low acuity or the folks that weren't very sick but were going to the emergency room. And about a third of those were folks that had oral health needs, either chronic or acute oral health needs. And so we've worked with our dental care organizations to help them get into oral health. And Mercy Flights also connects with folks to not just physical health, but making sure any services that they might need to get connected to.
Let me make sure I let people know that when we talk about Mercy Flights, we're not just talking air ambulance. You are the ground ambulance service in a good bit of Jackson County as well.
Yeah, we serve 2,000 square miles here in Jackson County with the ambulance service.
So talk, if you would, Doug Stewart, about how the trial project got started. How did you and Jackson Care Connect start drawing up some guidelines for how to approach this?
Yeah, we had a team there at Mercy Flights with myself, and we had traveled around the country to learn what other EMS agencies were doing in regards to this, with the ED avoidance. And we learned a lot. We came back and we connected with Jackson Care Connect, who were very much on the same page with helping patients. Mm-hmm. And we told them what we think we could do as far as an avoidance program for the emergency department, and they were all aboard with that. And they gave us a nice grant so that we could stand up the mobile integrated healthcare program in 2016. And that's exactly what we did, and it's been incredibly successful.
You mentioned other communities that had the program going. So what kinds of things did you do to tailor the program specifically to Jackson County?
Yeah, what we're looking for is gaps in the healthcare system here. And there's definitely a gap in terms of patients that need resources to help them stay out of the emergency department. So, I mean, that's the first thing we decided to tackle, because that's probably one of the greater costs, and it's affecting the whole entire healthcare system and the EDs, the emergency departments, people being admitted to the hospitals and so forth.
You mentioned a cost just to run the program and a grant for that. What are some of the costs you incurred just in trying to get to a point where you could work to get people to not go to the emergency department? And I should point out again, this is called the Emergency Department Avoidance Project.
Right. So, I mean, the majority of the expense for the program is the people that, that are going to, you know, essentially these paramedics are going and making house calls with these patients that are referred to the program. And that's the majority of the cost.
So was there a project, Anne, to identify particular patients you want? I mean, so did you try a thing where you did a control group or anything, or was it just like these are the people, these specific people, the ones we want to focus on? Mm-hmm. I just wonder how you decided where to go.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we knew that one of our goals in partnership with the state in forming a CCO is that one of the measures that they check on all the CCOs is your ED visits, knowing that there's a good percentage of folks that should be seen somewhere else. And we saw that in our membership as well. And then we also had funded, about a year before we had funded the work with Mercy Flights, and ED guide work. And so we had some folks in both Providence Hospital and then in Asante's Rogue Regional Medical Center who were boots on the ground folks really trying to coordinate people's care and get them back into primary care or mental health or other social services that they needed. So we started to see what were the types of people that were coming in that maybe could be better served in other places. So I mentioned oral health being one of them. There's a lot of people with just social services needs, including housing. So it's good good that your next guest will be talking about housing. It's a big issue in Southern Oregon. And then helping them getting connected to primary care, of course.
Okay, so you were. I mean, how many people altogether did you enroll people in the program? Is that how it worked?
I'll let Doug talk about that.
Yeah, so through basically this program, there was as Ann spoke about, there's ED guides, and so they were referring patients to us, and we were contacting them and getting their consent to enroll in this program. The program, if they enroll in it, is a 60-day program. And what happens is the paramedics will connect with the patient after they're enrolled. They go to their house and they start talking to them. They're essentially social medicine investigators to figure out why is the patient using the emergency department so much. So they start basically investigating that and then go from there to see what it is they need.
We're talking about the ED Avoidance Project, Emergency Department Avoidance Project, with Mercy Flights and Jackson Care Connect as the partners. Doug Stewart is the CEO at Mercy Flights Ambulance Service. Dr. Ann Alftine is the Director of Clinical Integration at Jackson Care Connect. If you have questions or comments about the process, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So when you're talking about house calls and paramedics going to people's homes, I mean, are they still arriving in ambulances?
No. This is a single paramedic that is specially trained. They don't have an expanded scope, but they have an expanded role in the community. They're community paramedics. They respond to the people's house in a little SUV with some equipment and keep it pretty low-keyed and, you know, go in and visit them, that kind of thing.
Okay, so different equipment, different people. And then what was the result? What did you get in the way of reducing the ED visits?
Yeah, so with those people that Dr. Alftine was talking about here, we reduced their use by about 56%.
56%?
Yeah, which is huge, which is absolutely...
What was the target or what was the hoped for goal?
Well, we were hoping to reduce it. I think our original goal, we were hoping to reduce it by 50%, right? Or was
it was less than that? It was around 30%.
Oh, 30%. Yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, we just killed the goal and, you know... We have such great success stories about helping people. And again, you know, it's what Ann said, you know, the triple aim, helping the people, helping the population, and we're absolutely reducing healthcare costs.
Now, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was just wanting to say that what's one of the features of this program that's really essential is that the paramedics are trusted people in the community, and when they come into your home, they're trusted, and it's a safe space to get the help that you need and to talk about what your needs are. And that's not an easy thing to do, to invite somebody into your home. And they also have all the medical training that they need in order to assess whether or not this person should go to the emergency room or if they really need other things. They also did a great job in their research and in their preparation for this work and getting other trainings like motivational interviewing and trauma-informed care to really understand all of the needs that are beyond just the medical needs for folks.
To listen for things beyond just
exactly.
What's being presented right in front of
right.
you.
And also looking for safety issues in the home and all the other things that go along with staying healthy.
Now, I noticed that some of the patients who agreed to take part did not complete the program. What was the variety of reasons there?
Sometimes they just don't complete the program because they lose their motivation, or sometimes they just think we set them on the right path, and they said, we don't want to stay in the program anymore, those kinds of things. But what's interesting is even the people that were enrolled in the program and didn't stay for 60 days, we still monitored them. Their ED and their ED use still dropped significantly.
Mm-hmm. So now that you got this result, what do you do? I mean, can you continue the program? Are all the people and the little SUV and everything still in place?
No, everything's still in place, and I think there's always going to be a need for that. But you know, with that said, and Ann came to me here and at the end of 2016 and says, "Hey, you know, Doug, do you guys have some other ideas?" And we said, "Yeah, absolutely." And when we presented that, and they were also having an issue with that. They knew there's a gap there, and that is people that are at high risk that are being discharged from the hospitals, high risk for coming back within like a 30-day period because of some of the same reasons. I mean, so that is what we call this a transition care program here. That's under our mobile integrated healthcare program as well. And so we partnered with Jackson Care Connect on this one as well, and they gave us another grant for that. And so we have both programs going in 17, and they're going very well. We're already having some great results. And the way that transition of care program works is that we're getting referred for people that are at high risk that are being discharged for coming back to the hospital, being readmitted. So our paramedics are actually trying to go up to when the patient's getting discharged. They're actually going up to the hospital, listening to the discharge instructions, then meeting the patient at home. And then so because when patients are being discharged, all they care about is getting home. They're not listening to the discharge instructions and whatnot. And a lot of times that puts them back in the hospital. So we go to their house and make sure they understand everything, make sure they have the right medications, make sure they know how to use the medications, make sure they have access to the medications. And again, we do all the same things where we do house safety checks. We look at their nutrition. You know, we monitor their vital signs, all those kinds of things, and make sure that they get the support, make sure they're going to do a follow-up appointment with their doctor, you know, make sure they're going to make it, make sure they have transportation. A lot of times they don't have transportation sometimes, and that's a barrier that puts them back in the hospital.
We've talked about programs like this for years with a variety of guests on the air, and just talking about somebody who'll be there to help guide the patient through the process. And it's also often been talked about as a staffer at a primary care facility. Does it seem like it works a little better to have it out of the ambulance service? I mean, of course, you're running an ambulance
question.
Service.
Yeah. So I think that you can meet people where they're at, and that's the kind of the goal of this kind of program. And so it could be a community health worker, it could be a nurse, it could be a paramedic, it could be a pastoral services. I mean, there's a number of different ways to connect with folks. And really, we really felt in this situation when we were learning about these folks, especially coming out of the emergency room and being admitted to the hospital, that we wanted that connection between the medical and the social services that we thought that, you know, that trusted space that the paramedicine folks really could live.
Okay, but that's an impressive result, 56% reduction in, is it in the visits or number of people visiting ER?
It's the number of visits.
Okay.
So, you know, there were some people that used the emergency department three, four times a week.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the folks that we reduced their, you know, by 56%.
Okay, way down through the ED Avoidance Project from Jackson Care Connect and Mercy Flights. The other one program is called Transitions of Care. Thanks to Doug Stewart from Mercy Flights and Ann Alftine from Jackson Care Connect for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for your time, Biff.
Thank you very much.